There we go.
All righty. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. And I have a pleasure today of having a special guest on, and his name is Gabriel Santos. Is that right?
Yeah, did Gabriel pronounce that? Santos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kind of got in touch with Gabriel after seeing his video on YouTube and kind of sharing the similar interest. I said, well, let's get him on the podcast and see what's his story about. So I'll let Gabriel do the proper introduction, man. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So my name is Gabriel Santos. I'm 30 years old, just turned 30. By trade, I'm a life coach, but I have a YouTube channel, and the YouTube channel is just about helping people going through weed addiction, weed dependency. And yeah, those are kind of the basics.
I actually is that like kind of a focus of your channel on the YouTube?
It is, actually. In fact, okay. When I first made the channel several years ago, that was the only thing I really talked about.
Okay. All right. Because I remember I've seen quite a lot of, I mean, honestly, I did like see probably at least 20 different channels in the spate of last week and kind of went through it. But I remember I've seen some other videos as well. I think I've seen a little bit of videos about business and entrepreneurship, right? Or was that not?
So not necessarily business, but you know, I'm into personal development as a whole.
Okay.
And so it's not just about weed. It's about, you know, morning rituals, habits, how to be happier, success, things of that nature. So all across the board.
Nice. Okay. So let's go a little bit back. So where it kind of all started?
Okay. We're talking about weed. Growing up, I didn't smoke weed at all. Like grade school, eighth grade, even high school, I didn't smoke weed because I always thought that it was bad or evil or wrong. And I was more focused on doing well in school. That was my number one thing, and sports. And so, but high school came around, and you know, doing well in school wasn't something you really got praised for by your peers, right? And so I felt very unpopular, unseen, and kind of like a loser, to be honest, in comparison, right? Because the guys that got a lot of praise in high school was like the guys that, you know, had sex or went to parties or even like slacked off. If you slacked off, like you were cool. And somehow or another, I ended up hanging out with a group of guys that were stoners, even though I didn't smoke, because they were funny. Like they were funny, they were cool. And they never pressured me to smoke. But they always said, like, you know, Gabe, if you ever smoke, bro, like, you gotta smoke with us, you know, because, you know, they're excited. And so, long story short, high school is basically over. It's just prom night and graduation. And I make the decision that, you know what, I got into college. I have no schoolwork. We have summer ahead of us. I'm gonna smoke weed, right? And it wasn't because I wanted to smoke weed. It was because I wanted to be a part of the group.
Fit in.
That's why I first started.
How old were you at that time?
That was 2010. So freaking like 16, 17.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I smoked my first time. And it honestly, the high was, it was all right. Like it was cool. And then I got really paranoid, but what I really liked was feeling cool and feeling seen. And so that's what had me be like, I'm going to keep doing this. And then obviously over time, like I quote unquote fell in love with being high, you know, and I got to college and using marijuana to find a social group was my key. And then before I knew it, I was smoking every day, smoking in the morning, you know, smoking with my friends. And what's funny is, you know, I recognize this, right? Because I'm in college and my priority is school, but I'm like, man, I'm smoking a lot and I'm not studying. And so I was like, I need to make a change, and I couldn't make a change.
Okay.
right? It's like, okay, I'm not going to smoke today. I'm going to study. Oh, I smoked. And I realized, I was like, damn, I kind of have an issue, but I couldn't stop. Had no self-control.
Okay, so going a little bit back, I always want to kind of go, like, you know, in stages. So, I mean, obviously you start smoking with your friends, right? When would you say was that transition? When were you smoking by yourself?
Not all the time.
Okay.
But that you're right though. I get what you're saying. Like once I transition to, oh, I'm smoking by myself whenever I want, that's when it gets a little slippery.
Yeah. So, I mean, when did you actually notice that the weed is affecting you?
So I would say after a year.
Okay.
After a year, when I really, really tried to stop but couldn't.
Okay.
And that's when I told myself that I was addicted.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I started to go online, going on online forums. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And it was, I just had no self-control. It's not even that I had no self-control. It was, and maybe we'll get into this a little more, but like some of my deep self-esteem issues were tied with needing to smoke weed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I first started smoking because I wanted to feel cool. And so if the weed wasn't there, I felt uncool, unseen, not good enough.
I got it. So, I mean, that's quite interesting. So kind of a year into it, you're already at the point where you're like, hold on a second, I don't want to do this anymore, right?
Well, it wasn't that I didn't want to do it. I wanted to have a better balance with it.
Got it. Okay, so you wanted to kind of control it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I still appreciated marijuana. I still appreciate it to this day, but that doesn't mean I should do it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Back then, my dream was like to be able to like get the good grades and be responsible, but like also smoke weed when it's appropriate. That was like my dream.
Okay. So going forward, okay, so you kind of decided, you know, you're trying to quit, right? So what happens after?
So I tried to quit, or I tried to have some control, right? And it wasn't happening. It would always be like maybe a couple of days or a week of control, but right back into every day. And the issues just started compounding, right? Because now I'm completely dependent on marijuana to regulate my emotions, regulate my mind. And so I like wake up, and if I don't smoke the weed, it's like, when are we going to smoke it?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's hard not to be like, it's easy to judge yourself because like, really, I need to smoke the weed. And it's like, oh my God, I'm a loser. Look at how far I've come. And the mind just starts to, what's wrong with me?
A lot of that.
Yeah. So it was a bunch of trying to have control, but not really succeeding with it.
So when would you say was sort of the first time you kind of felt a little bit of control, or you felt like you were improving things with in regards to quitting or controlling the habit?
You know, I would say, so I started smoking back in 2010. It's 2022 now. Within that whole time frame, honestly, the only time I really felt like I had quote unquote control and a good relationship with it was back in 2018. Where I created a rule, and the rule was I only smoke weed after accomplishing long-term big goals.
Okay.
Not because I'm bored. Not because it's my friend's birthday. Not because of 420. Mm-hmm. Right. Only when I accomplish things that are actually important. Mm-hmm. And so that worked for me. But then I decided in 20, I'm kind of skipping ahead and I can cut it short, but in 2019, I decided to not smoke at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because that was just kind of a goal of mine over the years. It's like, man, what would it be like to not smoke for a year? That was kind of like the big golden goose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can share a little bit more about that later, but ultimately I did it.
Uh-huh.
And that year I learned how to live a happy life without marijuana included, which was big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the big takeaways was needing to have a bunch of emotional coping skills and outlets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But even more than that, to like have a life that I actually like living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like that's key.
Yeah.
And then fast forwarding a little bit in 2020, I was like, all right, what should I do? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Should I smoke weed? Should I not smoke weed? And mind you, as a stoner, it's like, of course I want to smoke the weed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then mm-hmm. as a history of addiction and dependency, it's like, should I do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just had a great year. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, pandemic hits and I'm like straight back into addiction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like my room's a mess. I'm a mess. And this is exactly what I don't want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so somehow I kick it into gear. And at this point, I just kind of have accepted like, okay, when I smoke weed, sometimes I've turned into a piece of poop.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, as someone who like obsessed with weed, it's like, I'm just going to smoke it. Like who cares?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. But all in the meantime, like what really hurts the most is, just like becoming a shell of myself,
mm-hmm.
not texting back friends and family,
yeah.
not posting on YouTube, avoiding everything, watching my health go down the drain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, right. But I learned to not judge myself when I go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I met my girlfriend, November 2020. She was actually my girlfriend back in college. We split up for a little bit of time,
mm-hmm.
and then we got back together. Mm. And she doesn't smoke at all.
Okay.
And she saw me when I was in my most addicted and dependent back in college, and so she knows that that's not good for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't see a future where marijuana and using marijuana is a part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my relationship with her was kind of like the final thing that had me see like, dog, like this thing, it really isn't good for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, cause what would happen was, and you know what's scary, bro, is when like, I'm so desperate to keep weed in my life that it's like, I'm willing to like, what's the word? I'm willing to put it in between me and her. Like that's
mm-hmm.
like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I think we've all been there. You know, what you said earlier about ignoring calls and ignoring, I mean, you know, in my worst years of smoking, you know, whereas now I try to talk to my family at least once a week, normally twice a week. In my worst years of smoking, I would probably talk to them once in 2 months. And even that would be like very, very, very platonic call. Like, yeah, I'm alive.
Yeah.
And you are alive. Let's get on with it, you know.
I'm alive. Yeah. Let's get off the call so I can smoke my bong.
Exactly. And yeah, exactly. And you know, what you said, putting between it. I mean, honestly, any successful addict will tell you, listen, the drug comes first and then everything else. And it's regardless of the money, it's regardless of the person you're supposed to be with, it's regardless of the family. And, you know, that's why I do this, because, you know, a lot of times I hear, well, it's just marijuana. Yeah, but it can be addictive. And there is certain people that do end up having troubles. And that's why we're doing this. Not because, 100%. You know, I want to go out there and say, listen, let's burn all the cannabis.
No, no, not at all. Not at all.
Okay, so you sorry, yeah, go on. I kind of interrupt.
No. How did you want to segue?
No. Just what happens afterwards? So you mentioned you met your girl. Well, you kind of reunited
yeah.
with your girl in November 2020, and
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I try to set a precedent that, like, okay, hey babe,
mm-hmm.
I still smoke weed, but I have it under control, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, and what that would look like was, okay, look, I smoke a joint once a month or once a week. That's what I told her. But then very quickly, one joint became two joints. And she's like, you know, and she's seen me go down this path. And so she doesn't have any faith in what I'm doing, which is mm-hmm. completely fair. Mm-hmm. And the honest truth is that it was just something that was never going to resonate. Because what would happen was, like, it was almost, in a weird way, it was almost like marijuana was like my side chick.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, yeah. And so, like, when I would go smoke, I would be completely absent emotionally from the relationship, from mm-hmm. everything in my life. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, right? Like that's one of the reasons why we like smoking so much, is because, like, I can just, like, disconnect so hard.
Yeah.
I can really just mm-hmm. get some space.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it was too much space. Like, it was, like, just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, like, and I want to make it clear to everyone listening that, like, I don't hate marijuana. I don't mm-hmm. think that it's bad. I don't think that it's wrong. I mm-hmm. think that there is a world for many people where smoking it doesn't present any problems like we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a section of people where it does, and those people know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so, long story short with her, like, it was so clear that it was messing with the relationship. It was messing with me. And she gave me an ultimatum over time. She's like, look, like, mm-hmm. I don't see marijuana in my future. Mm-hmm. And so if this is something you want to keep around in your life, then we can't be together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the honest truth. And you know, so what happened was, the first time she told me that, obviously I was shook. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, fuck. Right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And so I stopped. Right? I stopped. But then I did it again after maybe a couple months. And my explanation for that is, like, and we've all probably heard this. It's like, if the person has to actually want to do it mm-hmm. for them,
absolutely.
Not yeah. because, yeah. right. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so, because it's like, you know, and so, so I smoked again, right? And mm-hmm. and the same patterns happened. What really scared me the most was, like, mm-hmm. bro, I wouldn't see her for like a month. I wouldn't talk to her, and not just her. Like, I would abandon and neglect everything across the board. Mm-hmm. Her, myself, YouTube. Bro, I live in the same house as my sister. There's been times where I haven't seen her for weeks at a time because I'm hiding and I'm avoiding her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's, I'm like, whoa, right? Because I had to take a step back. Like, this is not about weed. This is about, like, me mm-hmm. and how it's affecting me mm-hmm. and, like, mm-hmm. the risk, right? So it's like, I got to a point where I had to see, it's like, whoa, this actually isn't good for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this presents more problem. The way I like to put it to my YouTube audience is, like, mm-hmm. trying to keep weed in my life. Because I'm going to be honest, look, technically speaking, mm-hmm. I could be like, I'm just going to smoke once a week. Mm-hmm. Technically. Mm-hmm. But I would be like trying to swim upstream
mm-hmm.
because it's not something that makes my life easier. It's something mm-hmm. that would make it more hard because of how much it tempts me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what it is. But my natural tendency is that if I smoke weed, I just want to ditch everything and just smoke forever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I just had to get to a point and realize, like, okay, whoa. It doesn't really serve a purpose anymore to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that I'm very happy to not do it. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that took time, though. Like, it took time for me to wake up and be happy and not need it. It took It took time for me to find other ways to relax, other ways to find a sense of peace. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ones is like, I had to realize that a certain beliefs I had to change, right? Because one of the main beliefs is like, oh, if I don't smoke weed, that means I'm uptight and not cool, right? Yeah. But you know what's really not cool? Yeah. Doing stuff that's wrong for you and being a piece of poop. Yeah. That's not cool, right? Yeah. That's really what's not cool. And what is cool is like doing what's best for you. Yeah. That's what's cool. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that was one of the bigger switches I had to make mentally. And also coming to terms with, like, oh, like not smoking ever again. Mm-hmm. That was a big one for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that sounds so harsh, right? Like never again, never again.
Yeah.
So I had to really come to terms with like, I'm good never having that again. And like, I'm at peace with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that was critical for me, like being at peace with that, like actually being like, okay, I'm down. Like, it's fine. I've smoked enough weed for one lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, going back to what you said earlier about controlling it, you know, I'm kind of a, I mean, and I'm pretty sure a lot of former smokers or anyone still struggling would agree with that. I think it's 10 times harder controlling it than quitting it. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, controlling it is like going up the stream. And I mean, I cannot even imagine how it is on Friday after a long week. And, you know, you have been thinking about this, you know, damn joint for a whole week. And then it's like, well, I can only have one. It's like, it's I mean, especially after you went through this whole journey when you were abusing it daily and, you know, for months. And it's like, that's why I always kind of, you know, I'm scared when someone tells me, well, now I can control it. And I'm thinking, but isn't that hard? Like, and I understand why, because, you know, I was at the point where I mean, for me, I think it took me almost 2 years to realize I need to quit it. Probably more 2.5 years. Because with me, it was like, you know, I would kind of cross different bridges, but then I would come to the point where I would be smoking pretty much from mornings until the evenings. But then what I would do is I would say, okay, I'm going to only smoke, for example, evenings. I wouldn't smoke mornings. So I wouldn't do anything until 3-4 o'clock, wait, like literally, like mentally get myself hyped up. And then at 4 o'clock, I would run to my dealer, get the gear, roll it up. And then I would get high more than I would get throughout the day, because I would kind of needed to make it up for the earlier on. And then the same pattern would be on the weekends, right? Because I would say no more during the week, only the weekends. And I would be high from Saturday morning until the Sunday evening. And I think it was kind of probably, like I said, 2-2.5 years in when I said, you know what, why don't we just quit it? Like, what is the point, you know? And it was the same. It was this, I think it's, I mean, it comes down probably to fear, like FOMO, you know, fear of missing out. Like, am I really that fucked that I need to like give it away completely? But when you kind of flip the script and realize, well, hold on a second, why did you actually start using it? It's like this extra thing that you need to do things, right? It's the same with the alcohol. Like, if you cannot go to the party and not drink and still have fun, then you have the problem. It's not the alcohol, right? So it's the same with the weed. That was kind of my train of thinking. Like, I don't actually need weed. I used to think that I need it, but I don't need it. Like, weed, for me, it doesn't do absolutely nothing. Like, you know, some people, I don't know, you have all sorts of medicinal ways and PTSD and all that. Like, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm lucky enough that I don't have any of that. I have anxiety. Sometimes I have, you know, depressed days, bad days. But weed for me, like, there is absolutely no use for me to have weed. To come to the terms with that, it was like hard. And you are absolutely right. So many people are struggling with that. It's like, but why do I need to quit weed? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I still want to smoke at some time. But you actually kind of have to flip the script and think, well, you don't need it. Like, you know, it's the same with alcohol. It's a extra. It's a bonus you can have, but you don't need it. So that, and sorry, what you said earlier about the identity as well, that took me a long time as well, just to kind of go out there and be around the people that do it daily, smoke it daily, and be like, well, yeah, that's what I do. And it was super freaking weird because they would look at me like, oh, are you normal? Like, what is happening with you? And then you like, you have like these self-doubts and you're like, am I doing this to impress others? And am I doing this to do it for myself? So it's like, I don't know. It's a strange concept, but you just got to kind of stay on the path and say, listen, you're doing this for yourself. And, you know, if you cannot function sober, then why would you want to smoke weed? Like, what is weed going to make? How is weed going to make things any better? Like, you know,
and it's
getting this new identity of not being a stoner, but being a sober person that can function and can do well. Because there is people like in the society, there is people that don't smoke and they're perfectly fine and they're laughing and they're doing things, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. No, something I even take a look at, it's like, it's even more, it's more awesome when the happiness is real, you know, and the laughter is real. I can argue that like being someone that doesn't smoke weed at all to like need to relax or whatever, like that's even more impressive. Cause it's like, if you could have what weed gives you, but not need the weed, then one point does give, but, you know what? And I totally get it, man. Cause it's like, you know, man, can't I just smoke with my friends at least? Can't I just enjoy a joint? Can't I just, you know, smoke a joint, play my favorite video game, eat some pizza and chill?
Yeah, yeah.
And look, I get it, right? Like that is a vibe. I understand. It took me a long time, a lot of failure, a lot of burning my own feet to be like, it's about doing what's best for me.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, okay, if I got a joint right now and enjoyed like 2 hours of video gaming, I'd get that 2 hours, right? But it's like, but then the risk is so massive. Not only that, right? Like after I smoke, I'm already feeling like poop. I'm like, God, why did I do that? I didn't need to do that. And then I have to fight the temptations. And so it was like, for what? What did I have to do that? You know? But that's just me. That's just me. That's where I'm at today.
So how long, what's the last time, how long you've been sober now?
So in the last year, I think I've smoked maybe like 6 times.
Okay. Right. It's not one of those binge.
All right. Hold up. So give me a second.
I mean, listen, it's irrelevant. I'm just kind of curious.
No. I want to be transparent. So what happened was, when was it? I think it was November last year. Was when my girlfriend was like, if you keep weed around, we're done. And then I went 2 months not smoking. And then I binged for a month. And then since that month, I've been good. And that was 2 months ago. Yeah, that was kind of like my final, just like, I just saw it, bro. It's like, oh man, this doesn't really do anything for me anymore. Like you know, had to just see how destructive I get and how I abandon and neglect everything. And it was one of those things where it's like, if I don't stop now, like I'm going to lose everything, you know? So it was like, okay, you really got to figure this out. And that's when I made the decision. In fact, if you go on my YouTube channel, there's a video of it. The last time I spoke, it was 2 months ago. I think today is actually the two month quote unquote anniversary of it.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's never easy because, like, you know, I remember, I mean, I've the last time it's been for me, it was almost 2.5 years ago. And now even like I'm you know, past that point where I would be counting days a month, whatever. But
yeah, same,
you know,
same.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you got to go through different stages. And I remember that at one point, I think it was summer of 2019, when I wasn't smoking for like 6 months, and I was like, you know, I was pretty high, the vibes and everything, and the life was kind of like slowly getting out of the shelf, and like I was seeing like, you know, emotions and all this. It just, you know how it comes back,
yeah.
And all these things. And then I had a really big fight with the solicitor, and I remember I was like, you know what, fuck it. It's like, it's summer, I can do it now, like I'm fine, you know, I've been past this stage. And man, I'll go right back into it. And it took me probably another 10 months before I said, okay, well, I think it's about time we do it. And that's it. And, you know, I pretty much sat down, I cleared everything I've done so far. I've realized where I came, and I said, listen, there's absolutely no point in doing it. There's absolutely no, you know, it's got no use to it, you know. But I think I think you kind of have to go through these stages, because otherwise it's like, you know, people telling you and reading it and all that is like one thing, but doing it doing your own mistakes and feeling shit, like feeling that guilt, going through that cycle, that's the one that's going to like keep you awake at night and make you think like, listen, no, we did that, you know.
100%.
But you know, you are absolutely right. And going back to what you said earlier, it's kind of that's the first stage, right? Quitting marijuana. Then the second stage is actually looking in the mirror and thinking, well, why am I actually doing this? Because there is somewhere deep down there is something that it is making you, and you know, whether it's a insecurity, whether it's a fear, whether it's a childhood trauma, whatever it is, that's the one that is a motherfucker to go through. And you know, I you know, it's a work in progress, I think, for anyone, but that's the one that really, really takes a lot of dedication and really, really takes a lot of courage. Because, I mean, you know, I see a lot of people have struggled, for example, with accepting the fact, listen, I went too far in. I'm past the point of like casual smoker or stoner. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first part I see a lot of people. The second part is saying like quitting for good. Like that's already the percentage that goes up. But then the people that actually are willing to do the hard work actually saying, listen, this is what I do wrong. This is what I'm scared of. This is why the emotions I hide. This is what I did. That's the percentage is low as well. But I think that's actually the key to like making sure that you don't come back to, you know, what you used to do. And that's, I mean, 100%. I'm still starting that. And, you know, I think that's a working problem, but yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because like, probably when you were 16, you never imagined you would go the way it would go, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like, you know, I used to walk around with this anxiety in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And when I smoked weed, it would relieve that anxiety, right? But it was just a Band-Aid, right? And so all these years, I was using marijuana as a Band-Aid to deal with anxiety, but it never addressed what was causing the anxiety in the first place, which was a bunch of insecurity, low self-esteem, low self-worth. And so I realized, it's like, oh my God, like the issues that I had in high school, I never resolved. I've been using marijuana to cover it up this whole time.
Mm-hmm. No.
Right. And so those are now the issues I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis. But I think what happens, so that one, you're for sure, that is big. If I didn't discover that, I would just keep going back to it, right? It's very unconscious.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, one thing I want to mention is, you know, so what happens for a lot of people is they didn't smoke weed, their life was good. Then they started to smoke weed and it was fine, but then they kept smoking weed and then their life went down. Mm-hmm. And they make this association that, okay, it's the weed that's causing me, like it's the weed, right? And look, don't get me wrong, it plays a huge factor, huge. Mm-hmm. But the logic is that if I stop smoking, then all of a sudden things are going to magically come back to normal, which it's one piece, but you can stop eating pizza, but still not go to the gym and still not walk.
Yeah.
And still not eat vegetables. So just because you stop drinking soda doesn't mean you're going to get in shape. So just because you stop smoking doesn't mean you're going to be happier. Doesn't mean your job doesn't change. It plays a big role. Definitely plays a big role, but it's like, there's so much more that goes into. So look, it's like, okay, now you don't have weed playing around your ankle. Now you're like every other person in the world that's now trying to figure life out, because everyone's just trying to figure life out, whether they have an addiction or not.
Yeah.
Everyone's just trying to figure it out. And so it's like, you know, but I want to acknowledge that, like, getting through your weed addiction and having control or quitting, it is massive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's massive. Yeah. But it's not a magic pill, but it's massive.
Yeah that's why I always say to the people, and you know, perhaps it's a kind of a excuse in a way, but going through the experience like that, dude, it makes you like 3 times more stronger, like, and you I feel like you almost like rediscover yourself. It's like, you know, it's like
a little bit, definitely,
you know, because, and let's be honest, man, when you're younger, like in school, no one tells you shit about that. Like, no one tells you, like, okay, what happens when that's on the border? What happens when, you know, you do this constantly, and, you know, and the worst thing is, right, I feel like we're almost so good at it that you can like absolutely fake it and no one will notice it. Like, that's why I always, like, and I have it on the first season of the podcast, a lot of people said that. It's like, I was almost like a secret society. Like, I would be working during the day, being around people, and then at night I would be this completely other person that no one knows of, and I would be completely functioning until I would realize that I'm not functioning. And that's, you know, that's kind of a reason as well why I want to do this, because it's like, is this, I don't know, it's this silent killer that slowly saps your energy away. And then you realize, like, 5 or 10 years later that, you know, a lot of life went through. You did kind of some stuff, but you abandoned yourself. And,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
now it is.
Mm-hmm. So whereabouts are you? Are you in, California, right?
California, yeah, near LA. Okay. Near LA. And there's we got weed dispensaries out here.
Uh-huh.
There's one like 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
But now, you know, going back to the weed thing. So, I mean, that's what this podcast is about. But one thing, so unlike alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's already a culture that says, like, drinking in the morning, like, that's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, there's a culture that says it's appropriate at this time, but it's not appropriate at this time, right? Like, drinking and going to work, that's not appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. Drinking and, you know, like, there's times to do it, but there's clear times not to do it. Whereas in the stoner culture, it's like, whenever, whenever is okay, right? But I think what we, and look, I get it, right? Because comparatively speaking, compared to alcohol, compared to cocaine, compared to all this stuff, like, marijuana, you know, it just makes you happy, sleepy, and giggly, right? That's the story about it. But it is a mind-altering substance, right? It's a substance. And so it you got to treat it as such, you know? And so if you, and look, like, and that's why I think at the very least there needs to be, I don't know, like, how many, I mean, I don't even know what responsible marijuana smoking looks like. You know, like how many, you know, it's, I feel like most people that do smoke, it's kind of like you smoke it like you do cigarettes whenever you want.
Yeah.
I do want to acknowledge that there's a ton of people who do it only at night after work, mm-hmm. kind of like how some people like have a beer after work.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish that I had, I wish someone taught me, you know, when I was 16, like, if you put weed before your grade, you're stupid.
Nah.
Right. If you smoke weed and let your health slip away, you're stupid. right? As a, because what I was following was like, it's cool to do it whenever. It's cool to be that guy that just like is smoking the weed, you know? And so, but, you know, everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I keep saying this on the podcast, listen, it's not going to kill you, but at the end of the day, it's the drug. But, you know, thinking back, like, I don't know, the first time I kind of started this was when I was 20. And I remember it was only like, you know, it's, I mean, it was, I feel like I'm talking like I'm senior now, like 80 years old or whatever, but it was only like, you know, I think you call it flower over there, but just like, you know, but just the action.
Yeah.
Dude, nowadays, I mean, okay, over here in Europe, it's still kind of a, like, the market is still kind of like reasonable. Over in your side, I mean, you got edibles, you got like...
We got things, everything.
You got vapes. I mean, the other day, I got actually a screenshot of a website that you can buy off, and they don't do age check, which is completely like crazy for me. Vape.
What is that?
Vapes that are like 85% THC.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, you're there in high school, like your friend says to you, listen, tomorrow we're going to a party, but everybody's going to be smoking. We need to get something. And you go there and you get this thing that's like 85%. Like, what the fuck? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's shocking. Yeah. The thing is as well is, I had an interesting podcast last week, and I was talking with Scott, and he was talking, he actually made a book as well. But he was talking about like how we have measurements for the alcohol. Like, you know, for example, on the bottles, there's like certain measures, like so many units and so many units. We don't really have a measurement for marijuana, do we? Like, we don't really say, okay, one joint is enough for like, do you know what I mean? Like,
so technically it's percent THC.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
But like most of your dispensaries out here, like I remember I went to a dispensary because I was, to your point, like I wanted to get marijuana that was like not too strong, you know? Mm-hmm. I went over there. I was like, I asked the bud tender, hey, what percent THC is this? She is like, I don't know. I was like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
But no, you're completely right, dude. Like, there's a big difference between like 10% THC, which is kind of like a beer, you know, versus 25%, which is like a shot of alcohol, versus like 75%, which is like taking 151 or whatever. There's no education on it, right? It's like a free for all. And so I think maybe what's unfortunate is that the benefits of that marijuana can give to people can easily turn into irresponsible use because there's we're still kind of in the dark ages of marijuana a little bit. Right. Cause the popular belief is that you can't even get addicted to it. But you know, I listen to podcasts by like, Dan Bilzerian, you know, Dan Bilzerian. So, you know, he's like the king of weed, got all the pieces, got all the hot girls next to him. In his podcast where he was on Logan Paul's podcast, he mentions how like, man, like he's got to be careful with weed because if he's not careful, that stuff just takes over him. And so that just, you know, that's just one example of like, nah, like it can for sure hijack your nervous system.
Need to
put
Zerian down as a podcast guest.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. No, that'd be it, man. If you got Poggy, that'd be amazing, bro. That'd be amazing. But
I know Logan Paul, he did an episode about that, and he was talking about like how it almost like got over him.
Yeah, no, I mean it's
that's the thing, like you're absolutely right. Like, I mean, you know, it's not just the media, it's also the pop culture. Like, you know, and
exactly
it comes back to this old-fashioned having a cigarette. Well, it's just a joint, like, you know, you're creative, you're creating music, you gotta have a joint. And you know, I don't know, it's really interesting because then when you actually go and talk to the person and being like straightforward with them, a lot of them will say, well, no, you're crazy, I don't smoke, like, you know, on the day. It's not why I do, like, it's, you know, it's what I have portrayed. It's the same as having a Lamborghini on the video, having a girl's, like, you got a real, you got to make it, like, you know, this appearance.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Now, there was the marijuana was so effective at, like, making me, like, free of anxiety that I wanted to do it all the time, you know? And it's like, that's why I just had to stop. Like, I had to just learn to deal with it other ways, because it's, you don't just get the relief, you get the negative payoffs too, you know, which is like, I feel like crap in my body, I'm groggier. My girlfriend would literally say, like, you're subdued. You know, like, you're numbed out, and like, you know, and then the issue is like, look, if my choice is like, let me smoke a joint and just like be free of my anxiety for 2 hours, or like have to go work out, which one do you think I want to really pick?
And you know, it's always funny, because I mean, the amount of times I hear this argument, like, oh yeah, it helps me with my anxiety, you know, it's like, and you know, I don't want to say it in the condescending way, but let me see what happens when you ran out of weed. How's your anxiety then? Like,
oh,
you
know, man,
like, it goes over the
bro,
or like, I mean, yeah, exactly, or like, yeah, know, any successful addict will tell you, I'm up in the heaven in the evening and I'm down in the hell in the morning. And what you're doing is you're just repeating that cycle nonstop. And, you know, it's, I mean, I'm pretty sure there are people out there that are getting some benefits and they're not addicted and they're happily smoking it. But, you know, the reason why I'm doing this is because there's a small amount of people that do end up having troubles, and that's kind of a focus, you know, but
yeah.
It's just, it's just, it's interesting. And,
I honestly, I think I 100% know there are people out in the world that don't, like, can put it in its place. Right. But that's probably because they maintain that relationship with it from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where, right, where they had the inkling to want to smoke. They had the friend say, come on, let's go smoke the weed. But they're like, no, I got to study. Right? So they clearly define those boundaries where they had these rules. The rules say, if the homework's not done, I do the homework. Where they say smoking every day, like, no, like they're very clear that that's not what they're into. And so they've established it. And the neural connections, they connect the proper way. Right? Because that's what it was with me and alcohol. Right? Like I, you know, I only do it one XYZ times, but 99% of the time I don't do it. I don't want to do it, you know? And so those connections don't come together. And
yeah, that was one of the, a few weeks ago, I had a kind of a, not conference. It was almost like a, called a workshop in a way. It was a 2-week workshop, and it was organized by European Union, and it was called like European Drug Winter School. And we went through different classes, and one of the class was actually by a really brilliant scientist in Amsterdam, and she pretty much showed us the theory that the craving is kind of connected with the addiction. So the stronger the craving you have, the stronger addiction will be. And for anyone listening, don't completely quote me on that. There is research, and you can probably go out there. But I was always like interested and fascinated what makes a good addict a good addict. Like how it develops, how the brain comes to that point. Whereas someone who can, like, you know, easily say no, or easily like go into this kind of a you know, whatever the waters in between. Like, kind of like, oh, no, I'm fine with one joint or whatever. I was always like, fascinated what that is. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of science behind it. But, you know, not excusing anything, a lot of like really famous people and a lot of really, you know, good scientists and just creative people were at one point addicts. And,
you know, right.
And, you know, for anyone, I think, out there that is kind of thinking, well, I'm fucked for life, or like I've done many things wrong. Well, perhaps you didn't. Like, perhaps that's the lesson you needed to do to like kind of go on with the life and realize that there's other things, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, the way I like to put it, man, is like, if at the end of the day, only you know if it's helping you or hurting you, and you're allowed to do whatever you want, you know, like if you are enjoying it and it's serving a purpose and you feel good about your relationship to it, then great. Like do that, you know, and then, but then, you know, you got to be also honest. Like if you realize that, you know, cause for me, like, I don't know what it is, dude. Like I was never proud to identify as someone who smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
Like as much as I liked being cool and like, like it was always like,
kind of a distance.
In a lot of ways, I felt like I was abandoning a lot of my core values because, like, I highly valued discipline, organization, not slipping into poor habits.
Yeah.
And marijuana just never really represented, like, the side of me that I really wanted to put out the most. And so, but, yeah, man, I mean, there is risk to using it, man. There is risk to using it, and you gotta put it in its place. Like if I could give anyone a piece of advice if they've never smoked before, like first of all, take a step back. Take a step back and ask yourself, like, what do you want out of your life, and what type of life do you want to have? Look at someone who you admire and ask, like, what do they do? Do they smoke weed? Do they not smoke weed? And just stay focused on what matters to you. Like stay focused on what matters to you and align your habits with that. And so, for example, like if you're someone that wants to be in shape and have a good job and have a girlfriend and a family, like, okay, do the things that allow you to have that. And look, if marijuana is something that allows you to have all those things for you personally, like truly, then great.
Yeah, great.
But if it's something that doesn't, then you got to do something about that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Listen, we're kind of coming up to the time. So
is there
anything else you kind of wanted to add? And I mean, I know you have a YouTube channel, so feel free to put that in as well.
Yeah. So
anything else?
So if you guys want to find me on YouTube, I have like well over 100 videos on the topic of marijuana addiction, how to handle it. Just look up Gabriel Santos quitting weed, or look up Gabriel Santos weed free experience. I have a 7-day video series where I take you day by day to like not smoke for 7 days. And then I actually have a book called Marijuana Mindfulness. It's on Amazon. It's only available as an ebook. I wrote it in 2018 when I successfully had some moderation with it. And that's, as I mentioned earlier, when I would only smoke after long-term goals. But there's a lot of good stuff in there. And then I actually have two books that aren't mine that I'd like to recommend, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go.
Okay.
Of course, man.
So the first book you've probably heard of, it's called Quitting Weed, The Complete Guide by Matthew Clark on Amazon.
No, I don't have it here. Absolutely not.
I recently read it. It connected some of the final dots for me. Huge one. Must read. And then another author that I love, his name is David Hawkins. And all of his material is on consciousness. And if you're someone who's into energy, high consciousness, even psychology, I would take a look at his work. Just appreciate you having me on, man. I hope everyone listening here, wherever they're at in their journey is where they're meant to be. Go visit mylashjoint.com.
Listen, dude, I really appreciate you coming on board, and the fact that you replied the email straight away and, you know, said, let's do it. It means a lot. And, you know, I can see, I think your channel is pretty popular already, but, you know.
It's okay.
Yeah. I can see you going places. And, dude, I really, really appreciate it. And I think
we need to do some sort of collaboration in the future anyways.
100%. 100%, dude.
Thank you for plugging in. And I'll actually check your book. I didn't know you have a book. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And dude, really easy. Yeah.
And thank you for plugging in the Math with Clark as well. It's I should have mentioned that book long time ago, but yeah, I think that's like a kind of a Bible, if you will, isn't it? It's like,
yes,
it's good. And I'm trying to get him on the podcast as well, but I cannot, like, there's no email or anything. So, yeah.
Yeah, no worries. No, you'll find a way. But man, appreciate you having me on. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. And yeah, let's collaborate for sure.
Sure. Gabriel, thanks so much, man. Take it easy.
You too.
Bye, man.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Hey, friend. We reached the end of today's episode. Don't forget, we have our own community. Visit our website to get yourself a free trial. Thanks for listening. See you soon.